Miss Becca. Praise the Lord for the wonderful singing. And I am thankful again that you're here. I forgot one announcement. Your graduate Sunday, we should have already had it, but it's been postponed. We'll get back to you as far as the date. But if you have a graduate, someone who's graduating high school or college or some other institution, that if you'd make sure we get that in the office, then we would include them when we have our graduate Sunday coming up. And so we're looking forward that God would give us a great day on that day. Well, I wanted to share with you that, you know, so many folks I met, some today. Somebody came and said, well, I don't believe I've met you because I'm a circumstance that hadn't been here since I've been here. You remember, I told you last week, I've been your pastor about 2 weeks. And then I've been the online pastor for about 2 months, but 2.5 months online. But I've got more experience online than I do in person here at Buffalo Ridge, that is. But I was thinking there's some wonderful blessings about that. Because, you know, I don't know who's a visitor and who's not. Now, some of you all will, but I am being serious. I'm passing this off as a joke, but there's some seriousness in it. And that is, if there are folks that haven't been in church for a while, and you understand how the devil uses absence to make you keep on being absent. What I mean by that is, sometimes you haven't been someplace for a long time, and the devil puts thoughts in your mind, well, I ain't been there in so long, people are going to think this, this, and this. I do challenge you to pray and think of some folks that haven't been in church for a while and call them this week. Stop by, whatever you got to do, but call them this week and tell them, say, listen, nobody's been in church for a while. And it's a great time to come back. And because Satan, let's face it, he has his way with a lot of us. And we're not going to look down our long nose at somebody and say, well, I ain't been in church in 8 months. Well, there's been some times when we weren't batting too good for the Lord either, but this isn't the time to get into all that. But I am serious that if he put something in your heart, you pray and ask him to. If there's some folks that you know are out of church, just tell them, say, listen, we'd love to have visitors. And we tell them we're socially distant and all that stuff. We can keep everybody safe. We sanitize, of course, and do all that. But I'm being serious as I can be. You pray and say, Lord, show me some people that aren't in church. Should be. They know they should be. Everybody should be, of course. But get them in here. And say, listen, it's been so easy because services are split right now and you can slip in, because that's a lot of times the excuse I get. Well, I ain't been so long. People are going to think that this, that, or the other. But you get them in here. If you can, God would be helping you, I believe. So I just throw that out there. I thought of it there just a little bit ago. Let me give you something from our Word of God, or the Word of God. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we'll begin in verse 1. While you're finding your place there in Philippians, did hear about this new preacher came to town, and while you're finding your place there in Philippians chapter 4, he came into town, and he's trying to get out visiting, knocking some doors, just trying to roust up some business, and he saw this fellow, old guy with the hound dog, sitting on his front porch, and he asked him, he said, hey, and he looked up, said, yeah, he said, you a Christian? And he said, I know Christian. He said, I'm a Parsons. He said, I'm kin to these ones down the road here. My family's over here. My family's over here. He said, oh, no. He said, no, I don't mean that. He said, I don't mean that. He said, are you lost? He said, lost? He said, buddy, I grew up riding these hills all my life. He said, I ain't lost. He said, I know wherever you need to go. I know. He said, no, sir. He said, I'm afraid you still don't understand. He said, are you ready for the rapture? He said, well, I don't rightly know. He said, when's it going to be? And the preacher said, well, that's the thing. He said, don't know. He said, it could be today or it could be tomorrow. He said, listen, buddy. He said, please don't tell my wife. You know her. She'll want to go both days. So Philippians chapter 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, therefore, because of all these things in the past, but therefore, my beloved brethren, longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. See, they're fighting in the Bible even back then. These two had odds one with another about something. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with others, my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. I pray that the Lord would help us today. Father, it's our joy and blessing to be back. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Move upon us, we pray. And we'll give you all the glory. Lord, if there's any to have, it will be all you. We direct it to you. Bless us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. A lot of prayer, of course, as you know, goes into services, or I hope it does. And so I'm trying to pray about what to preach on, preaching on the ultimate sacrifice that people have given for our nation. But then I also realize that this is a wonderful time with graduations and getting wedding announcements and different things because springtime is coming, even though coronavirus has kept things kind of at bay. People still need to move on. There's graduations, there's open houses, there's all of these things. And I hope that you don't ever get tired of graduation announcements coming in the mail, birth announcements coming in the mail, open houses or for one thing or another, because it's easy for us to get cynical. We start thinking, oh boy, there's another one. There's this and there's that. But can I tell you what that is? I know the cynic side of us says, well, they just want us to send a gift to that wedding or want us to do this. But can I tell you what that really is? That really is those people trust or thank God for a little part of their life that you've had. Because without that, they wouldn't send it to you. And I hope that we don't get in such cynicism that we get to a place where we grieve when we see another announcement come about this or another announcement about an open house that somebody's graduating from here. Say, well, it seems like they're always graduating from something, you know. And it's amazing how we say things. But I'm saying that I hope we don't get tired of these things, because this just means that somebody knows you care about them. And I want to challenge each of us to engage and interact with people so that we can influence them, and we'll get into the message part of it here. You know, we use the phrase, my people. These are my people, meaning like you're in your neighborhood and somebody comes in and you and several other your friends, well, these are my people here, my peeps. You know, these are the people that I hang out with or whatever. We go to church, well, these are my people. Well, we really have a good time. What we mean by that is we interact well together. We've got something in common and camaraderie is high here and all these things. My people, well, the Apostle Paul used of God, he was checking on his people. He was checking on the people here at Philippi, and he says, my beloved brethren and longed for, my joy, my crown. He said, I'm talking to you people, and I got a great love for you. And I think about that in this season, particularly about the graduation season and weddings in June and all of the things that happen. I think about this. I ask you the question this morning, which is the title, are you investing? Are you investing in people? Because it's a very biblical thing for us to be imparting what we have into somebody else. And that's not only, well, what Bible verse do I need to tell them, although that's a big part of it, but it's just your life. One person has said it like this. Discipleship is not necessarily transferring knowledge, although it does come along, but it's transferring life. You're discipling somebody, and you may not have them in a traditional discipleship course, but you are discipling them, meaning that you are inputting some of the things that God has taught you. And I hope that that's what I am as a pastor, that God's given me from my dad as my first pastor and different good pastors that I've had over the years. And all that's in me, I don't know how it all got there because I can't recollect, but I know what's in there, and I'm trying to give some things out as I stay close to the Word of God. And the same thing happens with you. Because stands to reason that your parents gave you some things, grandparents and whoever else, and so you need to pass those down before you leave this world. Well, the Apostle Paul, more than probably anybody else in the world, was one that was used of God to give to people who were coming behind him. And so I want to pick out three or four points in this passage here in verse 1, 2, and 3. And I see, first of all, as we look in it, that the Apostle Paul, he had a love. Let's look at verse number 1, if you will. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. I think all of us know a little bit about what it is to love somebody. Many of you in this room, you're privileged to have a spouse that you love, and even some of you right now, they are going through some difficulties, and that love has been, if it's not been deepened, at least it's been exposed. You know how deep it is, and you understand what it is to be loved and to get to love. Many of you have the joy right now of being parents. Maybe your children are grown, and you also have grandparents, or you've got grandchildren, and you understand what it is to be loved. The Apostle Paul says, my dearly beloved, and just in this last little part before he gets out of this book as God's using him to write here, but my dearly beloved, I think about how a mother tends to a baby with all that mess. Boy, I tell you kids that your mom's still alive, you should thank God she didn't kill you a long time ago or leave you on a church step somewhere. And believe me, if they start leaving on the church steps of Buffalo Ridge, we are changing residence again, because we love children, but we don't want to keep them 24/7. But you ought to thank God for your parents. They've invested in you. And the Apostle Paul here says, that he's got to love and a dearly beloved and long for these people. But I think about a mother tending to a baby with all the trouble and the mess that they make, the diapers and the spit up and the messes everywhere. You understand, it's like a war zone when you've got a 2 or 3 or 4 year old. You can go literally 24/7 and they're going more than that. And it's I don't know that it's a proven fact scientifically, but it's very proven experimentally that whatever a mom fixes, a toddler can mess up quicker than the mom can fix it back. And a mom just keeps on loving. They have that love built in, and dads do as well, I hope. And they have that love. They love and they love and they love, even to the point where sometimes they get into a bad way. But the Apostle Paul says here, you're my dearly beloved, you're my longed for. Meaning that he wished that he could be with them. And don't you know, people, that we're blessed in this age right now. We can FaceTime folks. We can travel much more easily than they ever have before to get to see folks. But even our schedules sometimes our schedule doesn't allow it, and we aren't able to travel to see somebody. I know what it's like to long to see somebody. I know what it's like to long to see somebody, and you do too. Well, I'm saying this morning that I hope you haven't closed off, because it's not biblical and it's not healthy. I'm hoping that you haven't closed off and you refuse to let people see your love and have your love, because sometimes this world gets us jaded and this world gets us to a place where we won't reach out to other people. And I tell you, it's not healthy for you or them, because they need what you've got. The Apostle Paul used of God as our great example to say, you're my love, you're my longed for. And I see that he had a love, but not only do I see that he had a love, but I also see that he had an investment. Look, if you will, as the verse rolls on, for my joy and my crown. His joy, most likely because he won many of them to Christ, and his crown because of the rewards that he would have for his service, and the soul winner's crown, and the rewards that he would get when Christ came back. But he had an investment. And I already ask you, are you investing in anybody? Is there somebody that isn't saved that you're praying and working that by God's grace you will be the human instrument to show them how to be one of these days? And then not only that, is there somebody who is coming a little long behind you in the faith that God's put a burden on your heart to say, by God's grace, I want to see them mature, just like you would a child, except I'm not talking about your own children, although that's your first and primary ministry. I get you on that. But I'm trying to help them. You say, I don't want to be so superior. Listen, it's very biblical. The Apostle Paul would build and build and build and build people. He says, you're my joy and my crown. You're rejoicing in my heart because of the fact that I get to see you serving the Lord, and my crown, as far as one of these days, I'll be so thankful that I served God and you came to Christ. I'm thinking about this. He had an investment in them. All of us like a beautiful day. The sun, the breeze, the clear skies. But you know who really loves a beautiful day? The particular vendor I saw when you come up out of one of the escalators. We were in D.C. We've been different times. We'd take groups there from the church we served at. And we'd take groups to D.C. for junior trips and things like that. This particular vendor that we'd always see on this one two-story escalator, you come up out of the metro rail, and he was usually up there, and he always sold sunglasses. You like a sunny day, but not as much as that guy that sells sunglasses. He had these cards, they were little stands there, and he was trying to sell them. I mean, you could buy all kinds of name brand sunglasses for a cheap price. He loved to see a sunny day. He had an investment. He probably had his garage full of those knockoff sunglasses. And he had an investment. He'd already had to buy them, so he was just waiting for a sunny day to come. You know, one day we got up and we were taking our group out, and I thought, well, it's raining. It was already raining. It had been overcast for a while that morning, but it was raining. I said, well, that old guy won't be out today. Wrong. You know what he was selling that day? Umbrellas. He had an investment for that day as well. We like a beautiful day, but not the guy that's making money off sunglasses. And I think that anybody probably likes to see somebody do halfway decent. But I'll tell you who's happiest at graduations this time of year. It's those moms, those dads, those aunts, those uncles, those church members, those Sunday school teachers. You know, I listened to somebody yesterday. They were talking about some of the boys that had graduated in a particular class. And he said, I tell these boys, and I found out later he was a Sunday school teacher of some junior boys, and he'd had most of those boys that had graduated for several years in their junior department of Sunday school. And just things like that, he was saying, I told them this, and I tell them this, and this is what they need to do. And I could tell he was a real part of their lives. Why? He had an investment. Paul says, my joy and my crown, my longed for. And I hope that as you look around your life, you're not closing in. Many people want the Philippians to do well. I think other Christians around that era would have said, well, I hope that church is doing well. But I'll tell you who cared most of all next to the Lord, and that is Paul, because he had an investment. You think of, you hear on the news that there's flooding somewhere. We went a different place this past couple days, and there's just water everywhere. It's been flooding. You think about flooding, and we hear flooding somewhere. Say, boy, that's a shame. You want me to tell you who cares more than, wow, that's a shame? The people who have a vacation home there where the flooding was. Why do they care more? Are they nicer than you are? Are they more compassionate than you are? No, they have a house there and you don't. To you, it's a, boy, that's a shame. To them, it's a, well, I'm going to have to get up there and probably clean up a bunch of mess. Investment makes all the difference. And if you're not careful, and I'm not careful in my life, we get to a place where it's just us four, or us five, actually, in my family, but us four and no more. We don't invest in other people. But that's not a biblical way to live. Because we're supposed to be investing in people. We're supposed to be reaching out to our coworkers, to our neighbors, to our family members, to our Sunday school classes, different people. We are built to give out. What makes us not? Disappointments. People have turned on me. Folks have said mean things about me. They've taken pot shots at your family, or they've done this, or they, whatever the case is. All these are hypotheticals. And what happens is you pull back. You pull back, and you pull back. But listen, folks, we've only got just a little while before the Lord takes us home, either in a rapture or death, and we're supposed to be investing in people, because now in 2020, more than ever before, we're not going to be able to influence people until we invest some things in people, and then we'll ultimately get to see them come to Christ. And then if they are people who are already saved, we're going to get to see them walk with the Lord in a more dynamic way. I tell you, the Apostle Paul, he had an investment. Look on, if you will. Not only did he have an investment, but he also, number three, he cared how they finished. Verse number one says, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And verse number two, as it moves on down, it talks about Euodius and Syntyche, that they be of the same mind. And as the Ephesian believers were told to take on the armor of God, that they could withstand in the evil day, these believers are told to stand fast. Stand fast in the Lord. And the Apostle Paul cared how they finished. Is there anybody that you are praying for and going to God for? Say, oh God, I pray that these kids of mine, or these grandkids, or these kids in my Sunday school class, or these kids in my neighborhood, I pray they'd make some good decisions. Or is it just going to be one of those things you look back and say, well, I didn't think they was going to turn out so well. You know, a cynic is somebody who just has bad things happen to them in a row, and they allow that to make them jaded. I'm asking you this morning to not be that type of person. Instead, to be engaging people, to be praying for them, have some investment in them, so that when something does happen to them bad, we don't look at it and say, well, I was afraid that would happen. Instead, our heart breaks. But maybe I just got on the reason why we don't invest in people. Because we have been disappointed before. We have seen kids in my Sunday school class that have just really gone off the rails. We have seen people on my bus route that, wow, they really just broke my heart. The old saying, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. Or the other way around. You know the story, you know the saying as well as I do. That sounds good, but it's just not biblical. Because what's the Lord say about forgiving us when we mess up? He'll do it again and again. How about that 7 times 70 thing? You understand that the Apostle Paul, not only did he have an investment, but he cared how they finished. If you're a parent today and some people helped you raise your kids in classes or wherever it is, praise the Lord for it. That's not a challenge to your authority. That's a God-given gift. How many of you all, you have taught in Sunday school sometime at Buffalo Ridge, junior church, bus ministry, nursery, junior church. Mary already said that. We're the reason, you are the reason that some of these kids that are graduating are on the high footing they're on. Because we invested. My friend, it is right, godly, and biblical for us to put a part of ourselves in other people. Famous preacher I've heard preach so many times, he said, I'm just a voice. Just a voice of the truth of the Word of God, and then a voice of the truth that's been passed on to me from generations before through different preachers that I've got to be around. And really, that's all we have. We're just a voice. John the Baptist was a voice, as one crying in the wilderness. That voice told people about the right thing, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm challenging you, if you are using, or I'm challenging you, number one, to use your voice, but I'm challenging you, number two, and more importantly, to use your voice for the right thing. Everything you say doesn't have to be a sermon, but it ought to be geared, pushing people in the right direction. There's been lots of people, we use our voice, and we're influencing people, that's for sure. Oh yeah, you better believe we're influencing people for the wrong. But I'm challenging you to invest in people. Use your influence, use your voice for the good and for the Lord. He cared how these people finished out. Look, if you will, in verse number 2 again. It says, I beseech these two that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Apparently, they were at odds with one another, these two. Can you imagine people in a church not getting along? I know it's shocking you too. I'm going to give you a moment to let you sink in. Not this church, of course. Other church. Those other churches, right? See, this service is not live streamed, I can tell you that. But the other one will be. So it's those other churches. They're the ones that don't get along, right? Here in this particular church of Philippi, these two were at odds about one thing or another. God uses the apostle to put it in the scriptures. I beseech those folks, Eutychus and Syntyche, that they be of the same mind, that they agree in the Lord. The apostle grieved over the fact that they weren't getting along. And if he grieves because he's had an investment, how do you think the Lord feels? It is the Lord's church. Christ said, upon this rock I'll build my church. So if it grieves an apostle, Paul, the apostle Paul, how do you think it makes the Lord Jesus Christ feel? He had an investment in them. He cared how they finished. Let me explain what I mean by that. You realize that everything that we do as a church, hey, how you doing today? How you doing today? Lousy tie you got on, great tie you got on. Does God know all this? Yeah, every idle word we're giving account for one of these days. I don't think God's too concerned about either of those statements, and I don't think that brother or any other brother would mind me saying one thing or other, your tie, whether I like it or don't like it. But now when we get into those personal comments, we start being unkind. The Bible talks a lot about divisions in churches. If the Apostle Paul was grieved about Eutychus and Syntyche not getting along, how was our Savior feeling about that? He cared how they finished. He said, stand fast in the Lord and tell those two yard birds to quit fighting. That's the West Virginia version. I'm a King James version, but once in a while I throw the WVU version in there. Tell those two quit acting like children. And I wonder if God doesn't say the same about Buffalo Ridge sometimes. Tell those ones to straighten up down there. He cared how they finished. He had an investment in them. He longed for them. He loved them. And I'm asking you, do you feel that way toward anybody? Oh, I hope you do about your children. I know that. But you know, I think your circles needs to get a little bigger. At least some of our circles need to get a little bigger. Because there's a lot of kids who don't have parents to care for them like you do. And then there's people in our area right here, and some that go to our church. Their parents are way off. I'm talking about not kids, but kids, you know, 20 years old, 20, 22 years old. They need somebody as well. If everybody did as much as I did, or let's put it back on you, if everybody did as much as you did to help a young single person going to Buffalo Ridge, Everybody did the same amount you're doing to help encourage a young, struggling Christian at Buffalo Ridge, would that person make it or not? You say, well, I don't know, preacher, that's up to God. I know, but guess who God uses? Us-ins. So, if everybody did as much as you did, would they make it? You say, I know, it's easy for us to pass the buck. But I'm telling you, the Apostle Paul, he had this investment. He said, you're my joy, you're my crown, you're my beloved, you're my longed for. And I just thought that God would have us here. He had an investment and he cared how they finished. I thought as graduation season is upon us, I'd just give you a little reset button maybe to make sure that you know that you are using your life to invest in other people. You know what they say, that a person all wrapped up in themselves and makes a mighty small package? And that doesn't go with the other old saying that great things come in small packages. You can't always use these cliches one with another. But a person wrapped up in themselves does make an awful small package. So I'm asking you to, of course, invest in your family. But if God would give you a platform, shouldn't you invest in some people outside that as well? And as you invest in people outside of that and inside, let me remind you that the most important subject you can impart to them is the gospel. I would hate to think that you invested in somebody, and I thank the Lord for people who invest in little league programs and sports programs, and what all those are good. But I'd hate to think that I invested in the lives of people, and I didn't invest the gospel in them. Folks, we're going to break it down to where it's really simple around here. And that is, there's the gospel is to every man, woman, boy, and girl. Jesus wants us to get that message to everybody. We're not fooling or we're not deceiving anybody, but we are plain about this, that we are living our lives to give the gospel. We're investing in people so we can ultimately see them get saved. If I invested in 30 years of life to see a Little League program go or a community program go, and it wasn't consumed with the gospel, oh, my heart would be broken. My heart would be broken. And so I'm challenging you. Not only ask yourself, are you investing in people? But be sure, if the answer is yes, and I hope it is, be sure that you are investing in them. It may not be the only thing that you're investing. You're investing time and work ethics and all that. Yes, 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 to all those things. But one of the things, and the most important, is that you're investing the gospel. Getting the gospel into the lives of people. We have a tendency with age to do one thing. Or if it's not age, when our children, if you have children, when they leave the house, we have a tendency to disengage from people. Not everybody, but a lot of people. As I jokingly say, everybody hadn't hated the quarantine. This is an introvert's dream. What? I can stay home and people don't think anything ill of me? Some people say, oh yeah, ching ching, let's go on with quarantine. I like it. Now the rest of us are going stir crazy, but some like it. But here's what we do. We have a tendency to pull back from people when age comes on us or whatever it is. And we get our world gets smaller and smaller and smaller. I've seen it happen in my own family's life. But I'm challenging you. Till Jesus takes you home, be that person that tries to invest in people. No matter whether you're 20-year-old or 80-year-old, invest in people. I watch some of you out here in the lobby, taking a younger person and encouraging them and saying good things to them and investing your life. That's a blessing. Back when we were here, I came around, tried to get around to many of the Sunday school classes. I saw some of you do it in Sunday school, saw you do it on the bus. But we need more. Instead, I'm asking you to engage in people to continue to make a difference. So I'm ending by the way I started, asking this, are you investing? Are you investing your life in other people, or are you all wrapped up in you? If you're all wrapped up in you, it's not a right way to be. It's a lonely way to be and not a biblical way. Are you investing in people? And then the second question, more important, are you investing the gospel in people? I'm not asking you to be a mentor to somebody just for the sake of being a mentor. I'm asking you to be a mentor to somebody so you can see them saved. So you can see their life changed and then see them grow in Christ. Are you investing? Lord, bless us now is our prayer. I ask you, dear Lord, to make us investors. Lord, a strange message, but because of graduations and all that's going on right now, one that I feel like you led me in. And dear Lord, I pray that some folks would do some soul searching today. And they would face the painful truth, if it is painful. And Lord, they'd make some holy resolutions to you that they will invest in people. They will give people the gospel. They will reach out to other people. They will be asking you to put people in their hearts. Now, folks, I pray that that's what happens in you. As our piano player begins to play and